Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, loud as the Lord see.
Yeah.
y'all. How y'all doing this morning? Ooh, it's so nice out. Well, it's going to be crowded in the city this morning. I'm not going to say nothing because I probably, as Joe Biden would say, I'm going to get in trouble. Oh, that's funny. Ooh, this city is crazy today. Ooh, it's crazy. Do y'all know what the movement, an organization, a biblical organization is taking back the rainbow? Y'all better look that up. But anyway, it is really something around here today. Everybody, it is today. Maybe one day the churches will get to a point that they will have the same kind of excitement. We'll see. How y'all doing this morning? I got up, said thank God for awakening me, and clothed in my right mind, as my grandmother would say. And, you know, it just smells so fresh. What I like about morning is when I, you know, have a nice yard. My daughter Ebony came and planted out some more flowers. But just smell the, and I ain't having no mind, put water in my fountain because all the animals in the community started saying I had the raccoons, everybody started coming running over there to drink water. So if y'all pass my house and don't see the fountain, I had to stop. I looked out there, they found there was an animal communal fountain. I don't have no water. But I'm going to do it at some point. But anyway, you know, you get a chance to smell the air and you smell the everything. I always believe that our breath and the air that God give us is God DNA. That's our connection. Because this is God breathed into Adam's the breath of life and made man. He made man, he made woman. And he said, go forth and multiply y'all. So be clear on that. But when he breathed the breath of life, I think that our connection and our DNA is in his breath. That's why we can fill him in to do what we have to do, because he gives the breath of life. That's my thought, y'all. I have my whole theory about when Jesus was born coming through Mary, but God breathed in him the breath of life too. We had to come through a virgin. But that's a whole nother story. But whenever I breathe, I always think that when I'm coming out, I wake up breathing, especially fresh air in the morning, I know that I'm connecting with God's DNA. Now, we got a lot for you, and I hope I have time. I'm a half hour on this morning. I'm going to have Erica Weber Jones, who is president of the Mississippi Association of Education, this morning at 7 o'clock hour. So y'all waking folks, so we're going to talk about, because Mississippi was way behind, and all of a sudden they came back up. And the question was, what did they do? I happened to see her on Fox one day as I was surfing, and I was so impressed. Well, I was so overjoyed with listening to her, how they brought those scores up and what did they do. I said, I got to bring her to my audience. And as I was talking to her last night, I know I'm going to have to have her back again, because I don't think we're going to have enough time to cover all the stuff we talk about. One thing you need to understand, that what I like, we didn't talk that much this week, even though we're supposed to, and I finally reached out to her yesterday evening. And she texted me and said, I'm in vocational Bible school. I will talk to you. I'll call you when I come up. She stepped out and called me, which says a lot right there, that you had someone that was in vocational Bible school and a person who believed in God have another way of thinking and understand who our children are. And I just kind of enjoyed her. So I'm going to have her on today at 7 o'clock. So all you Mississippi folks who are listening to me, and you Alabama and Florida and Georgia and whoever, even the northern folks, I want y'all to call her so you can hear her. Because I enjoyed her so much last night. It just reminded me when I was in school of things we had to do and just some of the things that they were doing. Just very excited about talking to her. So I'm going to have her at the 7 o'clock hour. Okay, let me talk about a few things. I want to talk about what's going on in our city. I want to first talk about Urban Prep. Urban Prep is trying to stay open, y'all. We've been helping fight with them ever since. Now, here you got a school that's doing well, that's educating young black boys. They're not out there twerking and rioting and all of that stuff. Good school. They moved to close them. And the joke is, to hear the superintendent or either the head of the Chicago Board of Education talking about, well, we're going to take the program. I hope not, because Chicago schools are failing badly. Our children are not reading on grade level math or science. We don't have no biology classes, Ollie. The music being taken out of our school. The only way you get a good education is you go to one of those specialty schools. And that's why the Chicago public schools are the worst schools in the world, just like Baltimore and just like New York, all of your major cities. And I saw an article, and you know, Urban League did a report on the failing, and then they also had a report card on failing schools by nationally. And if you look at those report cards, you're going to see most of the report cards in the inner city. And not only in the inner city, they are where the black community is. And I don't understand how, and most of those cities got so many black leaders. And I don't know when people are going to get mad and angry about this whole educational piece. So you need to, I think it was Chuck, is fighting with them. I was glad to see that. And they got a group called Cole. If anybody don't Cole, you can call in and tell me what y'all doing at this hour. When I take my break at 6:30 and come back, y'all call. When I say it's time to make the phone call, if anybody in the call people listening, you call, because the whole black community should stand behind that school. Now, they blame the men about some kind of sex scandal, and I think they've been back and forth about that. And he said some student got mad anyway. I'm not clear on what happened there, but the money stuff got cleared up. And they around there fighting them about some little our tax dollars and some money, but they're giving $51 million just for a month for illegal immigrants. And I was reading where they talking about more health care and all this other stuff. And it's because illegal immigrants having these folks fight for them. Now, all you Christians out there who want to do the Christian thing, I remember when the question was put to Jesus, what about Caesar? And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar. That means pay your taxes, do your stuff, do your laws. So in this case, we have a port of entry to come into. So how do you penalize Urban Prep with this little money and you're giving all our tax dollars to other people? There's a big old fight going on now about whether or not they should put more money in for the health care for illegal immigrants. They're not migrants. They're illegal. They came in our country illegally, and they want everybody to feel sorry for them. I'm sorry. I feel sorry for little black children. And I know people right now who have no place to stay, and they get penalized for everything. You got folks on the waiting list forever for the CHA, a third, and a third, that they were supposed to be able to go back. And then I read an article a few weeks ago, and I read it to you. I didn't bring it with me today because I wasn't going to deal with that, where they said that, why don't we put them in the CHA? I dare you. Let me tell y'all something. You know how hard I fought to keep the public housing open. And I told you they allowed deferred maintenance so that it can all get, they got rid of all of deferred maintenance, they got rid of standards. And when Harold was mayor, he promised those folks all along the lakefront, they said, we're not going to be able to come back. He said, yes, you will. And those folks gave up when they was fighting because Harold Washington said he was going to allow them to come back. As soon as Harold closed his eyes, they wasn't allowed. See, Chicago was one of the only cities where blacks was at lived by the water from lake from the north to the south. You had black folks, and they was all mixed up. You also had the poor people, people who make less than living in between. And they got rid of those folks from over there. They fought. The people said, you're not going to let us back, and they did. Now, you know what makes me so upset sometimes when people call me and they always say, we need to do this and we need to do that. Let me tell y'all something. I fought very hard in my ward when I was alderman for Robert Taylor from 55th all the way down to the Dearborn Homes and down to the Ickes too, to try to keep the public housing. Now, and I'm talking about that for a reason right now, and I'm going to come back. And everybody who know how hard I fought. And all these so-called nationalists and all these black folks who care about black folks didn't come nowhere near to fight. All I had was my organization and the people in those buildings. When I had meetings up and down State Street, and I was meeting with those ministers and those principals, and I told them, when this development closed down, you're not going to have no people for your church and all these schools up and down State Street. And all they just talk most stuff than a Christmas turkey. I said, I think you're crazy. We need to fight for standards for the public housing, and we need to make sure they take care of deferred maintenance. We had a police station on Stateway. Well, most folks also know that in Stateway, I had a battered women's shelter, and it was one of the best in one of those buildings. Folks, you can't talk about them because of battered women, right? But up and down, we tried to save. Phil Jackson, for some who was at his last birthday party, they kept asking me to come to his party, and I went. And Phil said to the whole crowd, he apologized to me. He said, I'm so sorry that she was right. And he said he was used to fight me when I was trying to keep the people in public housing. Now, when Phil Jackson, after they used him and got rid of him, Terry Peterson came and finished it. They used the face of a black man to help push that. And we were fighting hard. Now, and I'm telling y'all this stuff for a reason. What's going on here? And I'm telling y'all this because of what they're doing to Urban Prep. So anybody out there, y'all know how hard I fought for y'all. And I said, we need to have deferred maintenance. We need to fix those places, and we need to have a standard. Why all of a sudden, when doctors and what I found most, because I had someone to work with me, he came out of Henry Horner, and now God done blessed him enough to get his house. Or when I would... He worked with me, I should say, in my organization. And he would just get up and say, no, you got to get rid of them. Got to get rid of them. And I said to him, look, your mama had 10 babies. If she had not had, and y'all dad came from down south, she had not had Henry Horner for all y'all living, you wouldn't have a house. You wouldn't have been able to make it. So why are you going to fight to get rid of these people? Your leadership. I got Koofy on both lines, huh? Your leadership. Your leadership was help demolish the public housing. Rather than joining in with me, I'm talking about black leadership now, y'all, to save it, because I said those houses was good, they were steady, and what can a black child live where they don't have to, and have a home, and a mother can live the gas and the light bill and stuff? Why don't we just clean it up? And it was proven that a lot of the folks they arrested over there didn't even live around there. So we fought our butt off. And they said, oh, she just want to keep Robert Taylor and all of them. But that's her base. I said, not my base. I'm doing it because black people are there. When Gator ran, they voted for Gator. So it wasn't my base. It was just a matter of being right. So I was able to really kick their butts and hold them up. I called my congressman, Danny Davis, and I called Hood, and I had a meeting because I found out what they had done wrong, so I was able to trip them up. I said, no, they got to stop now. I'm going to get a chance. But then they had Wanda White, God rest her soul, Doug Gill's wife, to go through the development one by one. That's why I hate the white bounder. And get those people to sign and say they was not with me, that they really did want to move out. Now, because I had found the flaw in what they had done, so I was going to say those places. I was so excited. That's why I called another meeting. And when I got there, I took Dixon with me, who was part of myself. When I got to HUD, Danny said, well, I don't know if I can do anything, Dorothy. And they opened up this binder. Who wonder had went and got every one of these people straight down to say yes, they wanted to move out. And it was led by those black LSCs, LAC, whatever they are over there, look at LACs. And some of them got good jobs, like Francine Washington, she on the board of CHA now. And a lot of the rest of them did get their houses and stuff. And that's why I lost that battle. Between some those women who was in charge of those buildings over there and Jackson and Jerry Peterson. And I said, these babies not going to have a way to stay. And, you know, so when I think of that I was able to get the Dearborn home fixed up and put that money in there for them before I got out of there, before they got me out. Icky's, I didn't make it down there. Now, Icky's is a vacant lot where they trying to put the state-of-the-art school for Chinese people. Now, not for black folks, even though you have DuSalva, you have Phillips and Dunbar failing, and they going to spend that money on that. See, these people, a man can't ride your back if it's not bent. And black folks now, backs are so bent, it's broken. Now, we don't understand. And the importance about children. You can't tell me you do. When you push cannabis, and I don't care for who have it, we got to have cannabis, and we got to have LGBT, got to have all of this stuff versus the education and the economics for our family. That should be tops. But they took all these black leaderships. And we got to walk our children to school. It's too much gun violence. And they tore down all of the development, straight down. And they tore down the west side. And then you have people, when they call me and want to do documentaries, want to talk about what happened to CHA, y'all had an opportunity to help when we were fighting. And those people didn't have anybody to fight for them but me and my staff. And our organization, and we fought to the end until those local school council, advisory council, what are those people are at CHA, along with Wanda White, tricked those people. They was going to get a home, they was going to get vouchers, they was going to get this and get that, and half of them still have not been settled. And now the buildings are being built, and a lot of folks' children have gotten grown, and they're grown, and some of the parents are still, these folks, we got a lot of people who don't have any place to stay. They're living with their families, and that little food stamp, whatever they're giving them, is not good. Our schools are bad. And we're going to give this much money to these illegal immigrants because they got organizations fighting for them, but yet you're going to try to close Urban Prep or take it over? If the black community allowed the Board of Education to take Urban Prep, then there's something wrong with y'all because the way those boys are, and how they are men that are going on to college and going on to careers, and Chicago Public School is failing. Why would you give some successor to some failing? I'm calling Brandon Johnson to stop that. And black community need to stay with it. In the paper, they said he had no comment. Prixler had no comment. The schools are failing. And most of your elected officials in this city don't have no children. And those that do, have their children in specialty schools. Bump, bump. And then other ones don't send their children to these schools. They got specialty schools. Then you're going to take Urban Prep. So Urban Prep is what I'm talking about this morning. The black community has to help save Urban Prep because of what it represents and what it's been doing. If you're going every school in Chicago needs to be closed based off of something. They're talking about sexist. They got all these sex fiend people up in our schools. That's why I said that they had to screen these teachers because some of them are so mental. I'm not saying all. You don't have Ms. Mingo and Dr. Travis and Hambert and you know, Lou LaFour and all those teachers in these schools anymore. You don't have Dr. Beverly. Or teachers, people who really was good teachers, Ms. Hunters, Ms. Simmons, in the schools. You got a lot of these young mental teachers in these schools. I don't care what y'all say. Y'all might get mad at me. They need to be checked out. And they put more emphasis on sex than they do on education. That's why I'm excited that I'm going to have Ms. I'm going to have Erica on today. I'm so excited to have her on, Ms. Jones, and tell us what she did in Mississippi. But you put more emphasis on sex, cannabis. Y'all know how it feels to what kind of memories are we giving our children? Violence, 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 and nothing good. You're dumb. And then they bring other people in. And once they get here, and these people are sick, they use us and they're segregated from us, and they get the best of the best. I know I got to take a break in 1 minute, okay? They take the best of the best of everything we have. I was talking to somebody the other day who was very active and a very business person who's been very, very supportive of our community. And they told me all the time, I said, well, I can't believe that black folks be so scared that they'll put somebody else in front of them. I just can't believe it. I said, well, you know, that's post-traumatic slavery syndrome, because our problem has not been dealt with, and you got other folks with us, systemic racism, white supremacists, all this other stuff. I'm not saying we can't deal with what's wrong, but not that, like all our people did as the black patriots, all the people, the black folks who built Howard, or the people who built Providence, W.B. Du Bois, or all the folks, Mr. S.B. Fuller, John Johnson, that you can do anything you want to do. These children don't hear this. You know, Booker T. Washington, who built the school, Martin Luther King, Megan Everett, all the folks who did stuff, Phyllis Wheatley, all the people who did things, Frederick Douglass, who went to Lincoln and said, give us the Emancipation Proclamation. I really believe that. He wrote that statement. And I ain't got time to be arguing with y'all this morning. I want to talk about what we're going to do about black folks. Mary McLeod Bethune, see, black folks was a black patriot, and they believed in God. But what did happen is we got our people now believing in some other than God, and we pushing cannabis and LGBT and sex and everything to our children instead of telling them like they did when I was a little girl. Education is very important for you, because we got generations who ain't going to be able to function. They just can't function. Because if you can't read and you can't write, then you can be led. And our movement these days are being led by liberal white women. And our interests, they cannot have our interests. The last thing I'm going to say on that, because we have got to save urban prep, y'all. You know, we put people in place who don't fight for us. You look at how these hard these other folks are fighting. You think we got nobody to fight. And I'm going to say something that y'all ain't going to like, and I don't care. This country is really weird. It ain't weird. Yeah, they'll put somebody black in office. They'll put Kamala, Barack, somebody like that, because they're not descendants of enslaved blacks in America. They would not allow a descendant of enslaved black in America. They wouldn't put one of those four. They're not going to do it. But we don't want to deal with that. That's a whole other question, story. But all these folks who are talking about crime and talking about sex and talking about the cannabis, if we get all of these people down to Barack when he's here to push these, not just be a man, bam, but let's push education and let's fight for these children, right, for education and for economics. That's the fight. And then you have a little bit more. So I got to take a break, but I just wanted to tell y'all about this urban prep, and then I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to come right back, because they said he can't stop it. Just like my tax dollars is paying, that's my money. And I didn't make it to the board because I had a doctor's appointment. But the school board going to raise our taxes again, talking about for special ed, no, it's for them illegal immigrants. Brandon can stop it. So anyway, Let me take a break. Talk of Chicago 69 WVN anonymous 773-591-69. We're streaming live www.viewing.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. You miss it, you get us on Blog Talk. Coffee Tea in the conversation with me, Director Wright Tim, right in the great city of Chicago. At the great WVON, get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
This year, hip-hop turns 50. That's why in June, WVON is celebrating its style, its swag, and its renaissance. During Black Music Month, we're taking you on a trip down memory lane as we explore every decade of this transformative art form. Join us for short features, roundtable discussions, poll questions, and so much more. It's the evolution of hip-hop all month long in June. That's how you celebrate hip-hop at 50 and WVON at 60.
Celebrate the 30th anniversary of the African Caribbean International Festival of Life, combined with the Jerk Seafood and Vegan Fest, Saturday through Tuesday, July 1st through 4th, in Washington Park, Chicago. Live in concert, Rich Homie Quad, R&B legend Heatwave, reggae megastar Capleton, Haitian Rudy Rude Boy, plus Lil June, Stone Love, King Addies, Space Odyssey, and a galaxy of Caribbean Afrobeat R&B, pop, jazz, Latin, gospel, and other world music entertainers. It's a festival of music, fun, arts and crafts, games, and more. For more info and tickets, visit www.internationalfestivaloflife.com or call 312-427-0266. It's a Martins International production, sponsored by NBC Chicago Telemundo, Lincoln Insurance Agency, Chicago Community Trust, Gift of Hope, Bronzeville Academy Charter School, Rogers Fruit Market, La Frutiera Incorporated, Old World Market, and WVON.
Vaughn TV is proud to premiere the 2023 Luminary Awards on Thursday, June 29th at 7 p.m. It's a celebration of Black excellence and educational achievement. Meet five Black educators from across the country who will each receive $1 million of unrestricted funds to support their mission of educating Black children. These established leaders embody excellence in the areas of diversity in education, innovation in teaching, and pathways to economic mobility. The Luminary Awards is part of the 1954 project funded by Chicagoans Don and Liz Thompson of the Cafe Group. Watch the celebration of Black excellence Thursday, June 29th at 7 p.m. exclusively on Vaughn TV. It's easy to watch on Roku, Amazon Prime, Apple TV, or on any device at VON.TV. Vaughn TV is at the intersection of Black and Proud.
WVON is proud to welcome Wintrust Financial to the Tuesday 3:30 Focus. Tune in and see why Wintrust is Chicago's bank for personal and commercial customers. They have hundreds of neighborhood locations with one near you, no matter if it's an auto or a mortgage. Wintrust is there for you. Visit Wintrust.com to find a neighborhood location near you. Tune in Tuesday for the Wintrust 3:30 Focus.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's SkyRizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With SkyRizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and SkyRizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children laughter remind us how we used.
That's what I'm talking about. Our music was inspiring our children. Our God was inspiring our children. All the stuff, all year by now. Sex, violence, you can't make it. Our children are nothing but a factory for money, for contracts. We don't even get the contracts. The business y'all in the city of Chicago, none of the kids can't read and write. And you want to take prep? Oh, no. Can't happen. Love of all. God is love, y'all. Our children. The greatest love is happening to us is our children. The miracle of a child. God, child. Those miracles, our children. How dare you? You know, so the most southern folks, that's why I'm so happy to have Deborah on this morning because I'm glad to have her. It was a report that said that southern children was doing better than the northern children. But most of those places are right to work, too. The union not running everything. And it's like everybody talks stuff about New Orleans. Those kids are shooting way up. There was another report out this week that said the charter school children are doing better than the rest of the children. Why? And that's why they got to give these black parents an option to get out of these schools. Because we're going to have another generation who can't read, write, function. And they can and they letting all these other folks come in and take all the content. They getting great education. So we're back, y'all. Talk of Chicago 1690. I had to come back with that, y'all. Y'all, just say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I just had to do that. Our number 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.vn.com. We want iHeartRadio. Take us up. You go. And you can, if you miss us, you can get back on Blog Talk. Coffee Tea in the comment section. We do it right here at the great WVON. And I tell you, at the 7 o'clock hour, I'm going to have Ms. Eric Webber Jones, who's president of the Mississippi Association of Education. She's a dynamic scholar, transformative leader, forward-thinking, visionary, and she committed to building upon historical legacy while advancing the organization's mission. But she's doing good. Look, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida gave y'all everything. I said somebody the other day, you know, so I said, everything y'all got from us from the South. Northern folks get slick and use what we've done. And as I said before, see, the divestment in our community, this has not just been for white folks and from businesses. The divestment has been from black folks who have made it based off the political, education, economic of what we did and gave them. And they divested. I don't care where they live. But if they had invested in our community and built houses and built businesses and do those things, we'd be better off. But that's a whole other thing. So I was talking earlier about public housing, but I also was talking about, and which came to the urban prep, because of the housing they finna give these people and all the other things they give it to do, and we still got folks on the road. And I talked to you all earlier about doing that fighting. When I run folks, I'm public housing, get out of my face. Because we had an opportunity to save it. But they joined in with the okey-doke. And I always remember, and I really appreciate Phil for that. He insisted I come to his birthday party, and I went. And he told everybody that was there, that he made a mistake with fighting me when I was trying to say that public health. And that's a man. Just wanted to let y'all know that. So these taxes, I know they probably passed. Johnson do have the ability to stop these taxes. The Board of Education will tax you to the max. They said for special ed. Well, the whole darn school is failing system except those specialty schools that the politicians and the teachers have their children in. You know, so it's really funny when we look at it. So I don't know why we have schools, what we have this, and charter schools are doing better. So that's why I said I was going to have Ms. Jones on the 7 o'clock hour, because we're going to talk about what they've done. You know, when they was in the 48th place in the nation, now they're 27 and they're moving on up and things like that. That's what we're going to talk about. If you look at, and Urban League got a report, I'm trying to get it. I'm going to still try to get that report to read it about our failing schools and why they're failing. So we're talking all this stuff. Sure, we have problems with violence and stuff, but I think the most violent thing you can do is destroy a child's mind or take away their economics. It's violent. That contributes. So anyway, I was going to, last thing, then I'm going to come to the phone, y'all. The Latina legislators, let's show you how they are, right? They're down there fighting for more money for the illegals. Just know that. They probably going to get it for the illegals, health care, and all the other stuff. They're going to get it. It's so sad because they're fighting. Just like those two Asians down there got that school, spend all that money because they didn't want to go with the black school. And what gets me is when they're going to go to the courts and sue for discrimination. When these folks discriminate, you do not work in their community. You do not work in their stores. You do not live in their communities. They don't allow. But they'll use your tax dollars to bill. What can be more discriminatory than that? Let me go to the phone. Cliff, you've been waiting a long time. Good morning, Cliff.
Hey, Ms. Dorothy. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Hey, listen, I had the honor and the pleasure of listening to your son on the P. Ray show.
Oh, you did?
Man, you guys are great. Yeah. You know, it was an honor. He said, my mom is Miss Dorothy Tillman. I said, oh, boy, she's a great woman, without a doubt. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was nice. Hey, but listen, right, but also what I said was, you know, because I asked the question, if Trump was a Democrat, would you vote Democrat? And they said yes. So I got it. You know what I mean? And so, but here's the other thing.
Well, I think Dr. King said we can never deal. My son is a Republican. I am a Democrat. But Dr. King said you cannot deal with party. We have to deal with our people. And we have to deal with our people. I don't care who's in the order. Right now you got the Democrats and the Republicans fighting for the Latina support. And they don't care about yours. You know, neither one of them, because they think they got you. But I think that says a lot that they both are fighting for the support of the Latina, because they're trying to let these illegal votes too.
Right, but I asked the question, if Trump was a Democrat, would they support Trump?
I heard you.
And they said, yeah, okay, but so I digress. But listen, did you catch Trump's tribute to Juneteenth? Did you see it?
No.
Neither did I. He didn't have it. But here's the point I'm making.
Well, I don't believe in Juneteenth. I don't believe in Juneteenth the same way people do. I've been celebrating Juneteenth forever. Long before.
All right, well,
Juneteenth was not the end of slavery, and they're telling our folks a lie. It dealt with Texas, Galveston, Texas.
Right, but here's the point, right? The point I'm making is that in Connecticut, right, so it's a federal holiday. So 2021, it was made federal, and then it's adopted by the state, and then it should be adopted by
we're talking about education today. Why are you talking about Juneteenth? We talked about Juneteenth a week or so.
No, because this is education.
Yeah, but I want to get back to my subject because I was on.
Okay, well, the point I'm making is that this is the history that needs to be put to the schools.
Well, you should have. Yeah, I know, but you should have called me the week I dealt with Juneteenth.
All right, well, let me finish. Just make my last point. Here's my last point.
Seconds.
I'm simply saying that a bunch of Democrats got together, right, and tried to do the same thing, but yet the holiday was not official. So my point is we have Negro leaders, NAACP, some of the black preachers, instead of fighting the white Democrats to get the holiday legal and get it official, they simply want to just talk about, oh, can we just go along just to get along?
Well, okay, I got a different take on the whole Juneteenth thing, because they're misleading our people. Juneteenth is not the end of slavery. Thank you, Cliff. It was about Galveston, Texas up. And I've been celebrating Juneteenth forever. I always go to Oklahoma and Texas and speak. It was just some games and most stuff to keep your mind off of off the prize. And the prize is economic education. But I think we're going to tell Juneteenth, tell a story. It was not the end of slavery. And that's what people, that way you're taking out Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman and all the folks who fought. Can't do that. David.
Dave? Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Yes, I'm here. Good morning. Thank you so much for bringing up memories. Just very briefly, my wife was from Robert Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
My sister-in-law went to Beasley.
Yeah.
And when you and when you mentioned it, I was remembering Professor Pat Hill. She was a school teacher before she helped form the Afro-American Patrolmen's League.
Who?
You know,
who's that?
From, I heard Dr. Pat Hill.
Oh, Pat was a part of the patrolman, but it was put together by Renault Robertson and all of that crew, and she picked it up and carried it on. Yeah, she was a teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, the other thing is, again, like I said, I thank you for bringing up the memories, because we were so big time. We had the prep boat. You know, and we were able to read in the newspaper about the green, blue-green division,
mm-hmm.
Football, and the red-white in the public schools. We were looking at that and everything, and we would know each other, you know. And so, yeah.
But you know what, Dave?
When
I was fighting to save the development, I had as many black folks fighting me about it. They said I was only saving it for my constituents and all, and I was really trying to make sure that these black folks had a place and that we put back in their structure and we put back in deferred maintenance, and we had to have, you had rules in there, and we should have saved it. We gave it up.
Yes.
So these folks come back and take the land. God ain't going to make no more land.
No. But you know, the thing about it is, too, we had assembly. And the song that you played, I think a Nina Simone song, To Be Young, Gifted, and Black, and we sung that.
Yeah.
We had library. That was a special treat. And, you know, so those kind of things, they last memory. I'm of a certain age now that I remember all of that. And when I see other people during the course of our lives, you know, some went to the railroad, some went to the fire department, some –
Yeah, they did stuff because what people told you to be. And right now they're not putting success in our children's mind every day. They're putting defeat in our children's mind. Thank you, David.
Exactly.
I got a few more minutes because I want to try to clear my board as much as I can. And some of you have been waiting for a long time so that I can, when I come at 7, I can have Erica. Justin. Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. Thank you for waiting, Lewis. Justin.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Got a minute. Good morning.
Okay, here we go. Ms. Tillman, we got them. We got them right now. And this is what I mean, that we got them. They are giving concessions. And why are they giving concessions? Because the Democratic Committee, the Democratic Convention is going to be here in 2024. Now, how are they giving us concessions? Toni Preckwinkle just said that she wasn't going to raise property taxes in 2023 and 2024. And so what we have to do is we have to put pressure on our state legislators and on our congresspeople. And the reason why we have to do that is because they are reelected every 2 years.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lewis. I got to go. I want to try to – I'm trying to get as many calls as I got. I'm going to try to take 2 more calls before I go. But thank you for waiting for so long. I really appreciate it when y'all wait long like that. Mansa.
Hey, Hotep. How you doing?
All right. Justin.
Listen, I was down there at that press conference Tuesday with the Cole members.
Yeah, we'd be ashamed if we allow Mansa on that school to close.
I heard it on Attorney Borges' show, and I went down. I thought I was going to see 1,000 people down there, but it was actually the Cole members.
That's a darn shame.
Attorney Burris was there, and Reverend Jakes, and Reverend Fellows, and a bunch of millionaires.
Yeah.
And also Mark Wallace, and we heard from 2 graduates of Urban Prep, so it was a real organized. They should have had a whole bunch of other folk down there.
Well, I think we have to take, people might not have heard Burgess, didn't know it was happening. That's all. And 7 o'clock. They didn't know, but I'm glad you called.
Now, one of the quick things.
He tell me 7 o'clock. He's going to cut me off. Huh?
Can you play Lovely Hoffman's My Black is Beautiful?
I'll play it next week.
Yeah, and y'all can see the video also.
Next week, because right now I got to stay on where I'm at.
My Black is Beautiful. That's very inspirational.
Okay, thanks, man, sir.
All right.
Talk of Chicago, 69 VN, 773-5916. We are streaming live, www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio, check us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. We're on group Facebook. You can also get us on Blog if you miss us. It is 7 o'clock. Got to take my 7 o'clock break. When I come back, I'm going to have Ms. Eric Weber Jones with me as my guest from the great state of Mississippi. I was going to take a song out with me, Grateful Wrath, but I don't have time. Okay, y'all, get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back and talk to me, and we're going to talk to our guests from the great state of Mississippi. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
Metro Atlanta Police Department are apologizing for what's become a controversial training seminar. This comes after images were posted on the Villarica Police Department's Facebook page depicting a black man's image being used for target practice. Police Chief Michael Mansour says the department uses a variety of targets approved by the Georgia Peace Officer Standard Training Council.
We have other photos that show us using different targets, but that one video and photo was put up, and that's where we messed up.
Mansour insists there was no intention in the post, but Dominique Conte, president of the Carroll County NAACP branch, says what occurred is unacceptable. Conte says the post shows negligence on behalf of the department. Both sides agree there is an opportunity for improvement.
A U.S. Postal Service stamp honoring late Congressman John Lewis has been unveiled. Several leaders, including House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, attended a ceremony on the House floor.
John Lewis was an extraordinary man. Courage, compassion, moral character.
The stamp's design features a photo of the Georgia Democrat taken for Time magazine in 2013. Its margins will have a 1963 photo of Lewis outside a nonviolent protest workshop. A prominent leader of the civil rights movement in the 1960s, Lewis served Congress for more than 30 years until his death in 2020. The stamp is expected to be released next month.
Lab-grown meat, also known as cultivated meat, is cleared for sale in the United States. Upside Foods and Good Meat are two companies that make cultivated chicken that's been approved by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Good Meat is owned by plant-based egg substitute maker Eat Just and plans to begin production right away. The product is manufactured in a giant vat similar to what you'd find in a beer brewery. All right, for the love of the whodunit, true crime is the hottest topic among the most popular podcasts in the United States, and blacks and Latinos make up a majority of its listeners, according to a Pew Research Center study. A 2022 survey of over 5,000 adults found about 43% of regular true crime fans are Latino and 36% are black. That's compared to 34% who are white. The poll shows women are almost twice as likely as men to tune in regularly, especially those with lower educational goals. Of all U.S. adults who listen to a podcast in the past year, 34% reported listening to podcasts about true crime. I'm Terry McCready along with Kevin Brown on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
Don't miss the must-see musical event of the summer, Personality, the Lloyd Price Musical.
Lordy, 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 Miss Claudia.
Know his music. Come see the inspiring untold story of a true rock and roll legend. Personality, the Lloyd Price Musical, starting June 2nd at Chicago's Studebaker Theater. Get your tickets now at personalitymusical.com.
Get it. But what is it? It's an energy that enters the room before you do. A vibe, win or lose, has you looking like a winner, and you can get it anywhere because the Illinois Lottery is on your phone. Tap it, play it. Be Smart, Play Smart. Must be 18 years or older to play.
Max Healthy Seasonings is a delicious blend of bold spices that are thoughtfully crafted with your wellness and health in mind. Spice up any meal using one of their three seasoning blends, including all-purpose, garlic and black pepper, and Belize Caribbean. Thanks to Max Healthy Seasoning, you don't have to sacrifice great taste in order to eat the foods you love the way you like them. Max Healthy Seasonings is black-owned and operated. Purchase Max Healthy Seasonings at mseasonings.com or at Bezos Fresh Market, Living Fresh Market, Sunrise Health Foods, and Southtown Health Foods. Proprietor Vanessa Mack and her Max Healthy Seasonings is WVON's 2023 Level Up Contest winner. Congratulations, Vanessa.
Vaughn TV is proud to premiere the 2023 Luminary Awards on Thursday, June 29th at 7 p.m. It's a celebration of Black excellence and educational achievement. Meet five Black educators from across the country who will each receive $1 million of unrestricted funds to support their mission of educating Black children. These established leaders embody excellence in the areas of diversity in education, innovation in teaching, and pathways to economic mobility. The Luminary Awards is part of the 1954 project funded by Chicagoans Don and Liz Thompson of the Cafe Group. Watch the celebration of Black excellence Thursday, June 29th at 7 p.m. exclusively on Vaughn TV. It's easy to watch on Roku, Amazon Prime, Apple TV, or on any device at VON.TV. Vaughn TV is at the intersection of Black and proud.
WVON is proud to welcome Wintrust Financial to the Tuesday 3:30 Focus. Tune in and see why Wintrust is Chicago's bank for personal and commercial customers. They have hundreds of neighborhood locations with one near you, no matter if it's an auto or a mortgage. Wintrust is there for you. Visit Wintrust.com to find a neighborhood location near you. Tune in Tuesday for the Wintrust 3:30 Focus.
People with healthy eating patterns live longer and have a lower chance for serious health problems. Good nutrition is essential in keeping current and future generations of Americans healthy across their lifespan. I'm Dana Devine, host of the Equal Health, Equal Hope show. This Saturday, we'll look at how healthy eating can help manage conditions and prevent complications for people with chronic diseases. Saturdays at 11 a.m., listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
GMC continues its commitment to professional-grade engineering in the GMC Truck Series, like offering the world's first available six-function multi-pro tailgate on Sierra. Try the GMC Canyon with powerful and innovative features engineered and built for all your adventures to come. Or get behind the wheel of the GMC Sierra Heavy Duty with an available Allison 10-speed transmission. The list goes on, but it's more than just innovative engineering. It's knowing GMC is committed to professional-grade excellence on every level. We are professional-grade GMC. Well-qualified buyers step up to GMC with 0.9% APR and no monthly payments for 90 days on Sierra light-duty models. See your local GMC dealer today. Length of contract limited. Deferred monthly payments for 90 days. Excludes residents of Pennsylvania. Must finance with GM Financial. Down payment required at signing if applicable. Finance charges accrue from date of financing. Some customers will not qualify. Not available with lease and some other offers. Take new retail delivery by 7/31/23.
Celebrate the 30th anniversary of the African Caribbean International Festival of Life, combined with the Jerk Seafood and Vegan Fest, Saturday through Tuesday, July 1st through the 4th in Washington Park, Chicago. Live in concert, Rich Homie Quan, R&B legend Heatwave, reggae megastar Capleton, Haitian Rooney Rude Boy, plus Lil June, Stone Love, King Addie, Bass Odyssey, and the Galaxy of Caribbean. Afrobeat, R&B, pop, blues, jazz, Latin, gospel, and other world music entertainers. It's a festival of music, food, arts, crafts, games, and more. For more info and tickets, visit internationalfestivaloflife.com or call 312-427-0266. It's a Martin International production, sponsored by NBC5 Chicago, Telemundo, Lincoln Insurance Agency, Chicago Community Trust, Gift of Hope, Brunswick Academy Charter School, Rogers Park Fruit Market, La Fruteria Inc., and Old World Market.
This year, hip-hop turns 50. That's why in June, WVON is celebrating its style, its swag, and its renaissance. During Black Music Month, we're taking you on a trip down memory lane as we explore every decade of this transformative art form. Join us for short features, roundtable discussions, poll questions, and so much more. It's the evolution of hip-hop all month long in June. That's how you celebrate hip-hop at 50 and WVON at 60.
I've been helping Mom out a lot since Dad passed away. Scheduling appointments, picking up groceries, between taking care of her and the kids, I am exhausted.
Girl,
You need help. While you're caring for them, who's caring for you? Did you know the city has a Department of Family and Support Services that provide free resources for caregivers?
Caregiver resources? What are those?
Well, I was at the senior center yesterday, and I heard they have something called caregiver respite, where you can have someone come over for a few hours to help you out with your mom while you take some much-needed time for yourself. They even have a class called Stress Busters, where you can learn about relaxation, problem-solving, and coping skills.
Girl, how can I find out more about these caregiver programs?
Call the Chicago Department of Family and Support Services for Seniors Helpline at 312-744-4016. Tell them you are a caregiver. They can identify ways to help you both and your mom.
Thanks, girl. I will give them a call right now. What's the number again?
312-744-4016.
June is Black Music Month, and the talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, has got you covered all month long. It's the evolution of hip-hop. That's how you celebrate hip-hop at 50 and WVON at 60. June is Pride Month, and 1690 WVON supports the LGBTQ community. You're out, you're proud. We are the talk of Chicago. 1690 WVON.
WVON 1450.
Live from Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years, it's the icon of American radio, WVON Berwyn, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
It really doesn't matter with me now.
But it really doesn't matter with me now.
Dr. King said we had some difficult
days. Because I've been
days.
To the mountaintop.
You went to the mountaintop.
I don't mind.
Yeah. Allowed him to go to the mountain. He said we had some difficult days. But he said we'll be all right. But I'm not going to get into a whole piece on today because I want to get back to Miss Jones as soon as possible. But 7 o'clock, wherever you're in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. It's time for you to take that deep breath. The head and the heart is one. Let's take a deep breath, y'all. Three times for the Trinity. Black, 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 black. Come on, y'all. Black, 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 black. One more time. Black, 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 black. Is that black enough?
Am I black enough?
plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood.
Yeah.
Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie once.
But if you can't be educated, I tell
they
you.
They couched it in language.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Dr. King.
They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black.
Yeah, that's what the children
need. Always get. Something degrading and low and sinister.
I had a dream.
Look at the word white. It's always something pure.
Yeah.
But I want to get the language right.
Get the language right. Get it right. Get it straight. Get it straight.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out,
yes,
I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and
that's
beautiful.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm proud of it, I'm black, and I'm beautiful. I'm proud of it. That's the reinforcement to our children. We're back, y'all, at our 7 o'clock hour. I'm not going to do too much talking because I want to get to Mrs. Jones. I'm just excited about having her. I know y'all probably wondering, where in the world, look, y'all hear all them commercials? That's a lot of commercials. But I can't help folks calling and say, I want my commercial on Dorothy's show. Y'all put them on somebody else's show for a little while. But they want their commercials here because we do have a great show, number one. That's across the nation. But anyway, we're going to have Ms. Jones on. But let me say this before I get into what I'm going to do. Tomorrow at Liberty Baptist Church, Pastor Andrew Hunt Jr. is the pastor. We have Family and Friends Day. So y'all come out, some of y'all will be my friends. And after, at the end of the day, you can wear jeans, whatever you want to. We're going to go and play basketball, eat, and do everything else. But it's Family and Friends Day. And if you're there as one of my friends, please let the ushers let me know, because I'll be down on my row. But Families and Friends Day, we're going to have a good time at the Liberty Baptist Church of Chicago, 49th and King Drive. And if you can't come, you can look at us on YouTube, 11 o'clock, YouTube, Liberty Baptist Church of Chicago, and get your family, your friends to listen. Now, Talk of Chicago, 1690 VN 591-1690, number 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio, take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. We're on group Facebook. And you can get us on Blog Talk if you miss us. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole thing about Ms. Jones and her resume, because I've been talking about it all morning, but I will place it on my Facebook so you can read about her. Let me get Ms. Jones ready. What I do want to say this about Ms. Jones was that their reading scores, first they was like way down in the nation, and they brought them back up. I mean, they was like 48th place, then they came to 27th. 32% of Mississippi students hit the literacy target in 2019, up from 27% in 2017, and just 17% in 98, according to the National Assessment of Education. 32%. And they're not through, and they keep moving. And I learned a lot from Ms. Jones yesterday. Lock Ms. Jones in for me. I learned a lot from her yesterday. Lock her in for me. She in? Okay. I learned a lot from her yesterday in terms of what we're doing. We talked about a lot of things. We talked about they do have PTA. We talked about the vocational training and a lot of other things. Let me tell you, I'm not going to take a break. I'm going straight through because I want to give you a chance to, that's why I play some extra commercials for y'all. Don't call here talking to me, Titus, call me at home. I'm not taking one. It ain't Justin's, it's me. Now, and what these are the rules. I'm going to talk to Ms. Jones. We're going to have a conversation. And maybe about 10 minutes to, or maybe, we're going to take some questions. Not no statements, but questions and what she's going to do. We're going to take three questions at a time, and then she can answer all three at one time, okay? Welcome to Call for Two. Good morning, Ms. Jones. How you doing?
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Welcome to Coffee, Tea, and the Conversation to me. I'm so, if you don't know, I've been excited all morning. I've been talking about you all morning. I don't know whether you've been listening, but I want to let them know because I'm very excited. Because if you know me and anybody know me, know how I feel about education, that education and economics is very important to our people and our children. We grew up saying education is important, and I just, and I saw an article that the Southern children was doing much better than these Northern children. And talked to you last night. And by the way, I happened to see her on a talk on a TV show. And I said, I'm going to find this lady. And I found her, and she called me back. And she's a God-fearing lady. I told them earlier you was in your Bible class. And she have children that goes to the Mississippi Public School. So we talked a little bit last night. But I'm just going to let you talk about your school system. And then I'll ask a few questions where you were and what this is like. Just talk, Ms. Jones, about what you want to talk. We talked about a lot of things. But tell me how you got to where you are, and what you want to just talk about, and then I'm going to throw some questions in a minute. Ms. Erica Jones.
So, again, thank you for having me. Finally, we have good news coming out of Mississippi around our educational system. For so many years, we have struggled here in the Deep South getting our students to the national reading level. I am so happy to report to you this morning we are now being looked at as a model for other states to reach out and to learn some of the things we're doing here in Mississippi to educate our children. Mm-hmm. I am a second grade educator. I've taught for over 18 years. I taught first grade for 9 years. I taught second grade for 9 years. And my last year, I was the district teacher of the year, which allowed me to work in our central curriculum office. During that time, I had an opportunity to work with teachers all over our district, and I was able to go in and model classroom lessons. So reading is near and dear to my heart. I have a passion for it. Uh-huh. It is something that I really work with, not only with the students in my classroom, but my fellow educators as well.
Yes.
I spend my time looking at the latest research methods for reading,
yes,
and that is one of the things that got us to moving in the right direction with our reading scores. Here in Mississippi, we started implementing the science of reading, and I'm going to talk about that in detail a little later.
Okay.
But for those who are listening to us this morning, when we talk about the science of reading, we're talking about research-based instruction, not your typical items that you would just pull out of a box. This is really research-based.
Yeah.
When our educators are trained on this, this is not a one-minute or a 30-minute session for educators. This is an ongoing training that addresses the five components of reading. And our listeners will know that our five components include phonemic awareness, our phonics, fluency, vocabulary, and comprehension. All what we'll find with research is what gets our students to read.
Yeah, well, you know, because I know they're talking about Mississippi students everywhere. That's what I, when they were talking about the failing grades in this country, and they talk about what you have done. By the way, I forgot, I know I told them earlier, but I said again, Ms. Jones is president of the Mississippi Association of Educators. And I did talk about your bio before at 6 o'clock hour. Ms. Jones, we were talking last night, and you told me that y'all do teach phonics, and I asked you that you have PTA, and how active was the parents in the schools in Mississippi?
Yes, so one thing we learned through this science of reading phonics is really important. I know for years many folk debated whether or not phonics should be included mm-hmm. in reading instruction, and what we've found is essential. And some folk believe that phonics should only be taught like at your kindergarten, first and second grade levels. Mm-hmm. Well, what we've found is that phonics carries over, not just at our elementary level, but over into middle school as well, especially when you're finding students who are struggling to read. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the PTO, PTA, depending on which school system you're in, our parents play a very important role here in teaching reading. As you may know, we have the students at school sometimes 6 to 7 hours a day, uh-huh. but our parents are our first teachers.
Uh-huh.
So we really lean in on our parents to help us with this. We encourage reading not only at bedtime, but throughout the day, not only one day a week, but multiple times a week. Mm-hmm. Research shows us that the more that a child is exposed to literature, the better they are at reading and comprehending.
Right. Now, we were talking about, I was telling you, I'm 76, a long time ago, but you're young, gifted, and black. Let me just say, we were talking about vocational training. I was asking how much was about your vocational training, science, and your math, and you explained that in detail to me last night. Would you talk to my audience about what you call it now rather than vocational training, and also tell me what you're doing in science, and you said biology and everything is a must. But talk about the academia part that you were saying that you all were doing with that. Because I was impressed by, you said even in kindergarten, some of the stuff you were doing, getting them ready to move on up. You started the coding in kindergarten on up. But we talked about the vocational type training and health and science and all those things. I want you to kind of talk to my audience about it. No, people listen to you all over the world here, Michelle. Go on.
Sure, Ms. Tim. One thing that we have incorporated here in Mississippi, when I was in school, we called it VOTED or vocational ed.
Uh-huh.
The name now that many school districts are using, not only here in Mississippi but across the nation, is CTE. And CTE stands for Career and Technical Education. Here in Mississippi, we have more than 500 schools that have some type of career and technical education inside of their buildings. They partner with 15 community colleges, and we offer 49 different areas for training. Now, what I want our listeners to remember, everyone isn't on a track to go to college. We're going to have professional trades. We're going to have our students who are interested in day labor, and that is where our CTE programs come into play. That's why it's so important that we not only have students in these programs, but we're also giving them the financial assistance so that they can get the certification that they need in order to become an employer. Mm-hmm. So those 49 different areas that I mentioned, they can vary from health science. Those would be our allied health programs, which focus on training our future nurses, our future LPNs, our future medical assistants. We also have programs that are focused around agriculture. As you know, in Mississippi, agriculture is our number one industry.
Right.
We help feed the country. We help feed the world. We help to give industries the kind that they need in order to make resources for our homes. So, yes, agriculture is a very important part of our CTE programs. That's where we're going to be educating our future farmers of America, those guys and girls who are going to go out and be equipped to help produce the food that we put on tables across America. We also have the business aspect of CTE. That might be where you start to look at your accountants, where you start to look at your office managers. And again, manufacturing is also big in Mississippi. That's where you start looking at furniture making. When I was in high school, we called it wood making.
Yeah.
So it has kind of evolved around from just simply, you know, how you would create something for your mom.
Right, right.
And bring it home.
Call it shop, wood shop, yeah.
Yeah, wood shop. So now that program not only involves working with, you know, machines, but our computers as well, because so much of the items that they do in these CTE programs are geared around technology. We mentioned earlier on about how in Mississippi, some of our students who are kindergartners learn how to code. And if you all have any kids at home who are gamers, who love being behind the PlayStation, who love being with that Nintendo, who love being online playing games, you know how important coding is. Coding is not only going to be big for the gaming industry, it's going to also be big for our manufacturing sector who are producing items that we need each day.
Ms. Jones, you said your kindergartner, as you're teaching them the ABCs and their coloring, you're incorporating the coding. How do you do that?
So we have computer labs throughout our schools with a computer teacher, and 2 to 3 times a week in some of our schools, the students are able to go into the lab and just have 30 minutes of what we would call practice time around coding, where they're actually introduced to the program and they're actually able to sit at the computer and explore ways of doing coding.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, other listeners to TikTok or something, you know, that's very interesting because the first 3 years of a child's life is very in education. The first 3 grades are very, very important. And I think that's great that you're going to start in kindergarten easing them into coding while you're teaching them the ABCs and their coloring. Now, you were telling me something about the seventh grader. What you say you do at the seventh grade level?
Yes. So I was speaking, and I think I might have mentioned to you that my husband is an elementary principal.
No, you didn't tell me, but okay, that's good.
Yeah, my husband is an elementary principal, and we talk all the time
about
how.
Hold up for a second. I want my audience to know there's a black man in that school that's an elementary principal, and we need more black men. That's something. Thank you, Ms. Jones. Go on.
So we talk about how important our K-2, so when I say K-2, I'm referring to our kindergarten, first, and second grade levels are important. My husband and I converse all the time of how your strongest teachers really should be at the K-2 level.
Uh-huh.
So placing your strongest educators at the K-2 level ensures that we're building a foundation so that when they get to seventh grade and when they get to eighth grade, where they're administered more national assessments, that they're able to compete not only with their classmates but students across the country and across the globe. In seventh grade, we start preparing our students not only to take the eighth grade assessments that are offered by the National Assessment Program,
mm-hmm.
but we also start letting them explore opportunities that they may take. I mentioned earlier, everyone isn't going to college.
Right.
That is something that we used to push over and over again, but as you and I both know now, we have students who are leaving high school becoming social media influencers, and that does not require a college degree. We have students leaving high school who are opening up their own businesses that may or may not require a college degree. So we started exploring with our students, especially at that seventh and eighth grade level, mm-hmm. about different options that they can take.
Well, you know, when I was in school, which is a long time ago, the southern school, I just had someone, but like you said, it's not vocational training. There was all kind of artisan trades type things that we taught, What kind of we talked about artisan trade last night. You want to tell us some of those things relating to the artisan trade that you might be teaching or getting the students ready for?
Yes. Again, I will continue to emphasize that not all of our students are interested in going to college.
Right.
But some of them are interested in working with their hands,
mm-hmm.
and that's what our CTE programs also provide. Also, some of our extracurricular programs provide an opportunity for students to work with their hands. When I was in school, we call it basket making. They no longer call it that. It's all integrated into applied science, some type of applied science, so that the students can explore what they're interested in.
Okay. Now, you know, when I was in school, but that's a long time, down south, like our high schools, the students did the cooking and baking to get them ready to go into that field. They didn't hire people to cook. We had students cooking. Do you all still have the cooking and baking type programs in the schools down in the high schools?
Many of those programs have faded away and have been replaced with our technology programs.
Okay.
In fact, my mom teased me the other week about it. She was like, that's probably the reason why so many of you all don't know how to cook.
She's absolutely right.
Pulled those programs.
We had to take home economics. We had to take that.
I was asking her to sew a pillow for me, and she's like, if you would have taken this in school, I wouldn't have to sew this pillow for you.
She's absolutely right. So let me ask you one other thing. I'm very strong on this. a child's diet is very important. When he comes to school at lunch and all, what he eat. You know, we have all this garbage coming into these schools. What kind of, what do y'all have with y'all lunchroom? Do y'all serve fresh food, or you have these folks bringing in this done chicken nuggets and hard pizzas?
I am so glad that you asked that. My last couple of years in classroom, they removed our fryers. Many of our school cafeterias no longer have the deep fryers that you would use to fry the French fries or, you know, the chicken or anything else that you can fry. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why are they doing that? But one thing that Mississippi struggled with also was obesity. So they were looking at initiatives that would help ease that. And many of our school students, 90% of students in Mississippi attend public schools. So what I know as a second grade teacher, and I saw this over and over in my classroom, many of our students come to school hungry.
Right.
And that school meal might be the only meal that they receive that day.
Right.
Until you see them again. So we started exploring different options in order to make sure that they're getting at least one healthy meal a day.
What are you feeding them?
In doing so, we partnered with some farmers and different programs to give them fresh fruit options.
Okay.
So instead of a lot of that packaged fruit that you
would
normally find in a cafeteria, especially in our lower socioeconomic school areas, our schools who suffer from poverty or our schools who are affected by poverty, many of the schools there have they have partnered with programs that provide fresh fruit.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my last elementary schools that I taught at, we actually passed out oranges, apples, fresh fruit, not anything that was packaged, you know, in one of those little containers, but fresh fruit that the students were able to enjoy.
Now, what about the vegetables okay, you're going to have lunch. What is a lunch usually look like at your schools?
So we are fortunate to be in the South, in Mississippi, where a lot of our fruits and vegetables are grown. So we have a couple of partnerships with what they call farm to table.
Yeah.
So many of the students receive fresh vegetables each day.
Well, that means you have a lunchroom.
We do have cafeterias because, again, I remember a lot of our students live in poverty.
Right.
And when they come to school, that might be the only meal that they are receiving that particular day.
Well, that's one of my pet peeves is that the children, to bring these chicken nuggets that's cold, they got contract people up here bringing that food in. I don't know why the parents not angry. And that's a job for somebody to be over that lunchroom to make sure that the children eat. I really had wanted to talk about that. One other thing you said to me, let me see, I'm trying to take my notes from last night. I hope you sent a prayer for me last night. You know, it's so funny. I was talking to Ms. Jones, and I said, well, they do more sex teaching up here than do math and science. And Ms. Jones said, well, you know, we Bible Belt. I loved it. I went on to sleep after that, Ms. Jones, to know that you are. So you was telling me about when you said that, I was trying to remember, the accounting. You were talking about you're teaching them into accounting and things like that. You remember telling you said getting them ready?
Yes, I do. Another partnership that we have are with professionals who actually come into the classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
In my second grade classroom, some days I will have a lawyer. Other days, somebody from the bank somewhere, somebody from accounting, somewhere from marketing. Because what we wanted our students to see would be professionals who are actually working in these careers. It's so easy for me to say, well, I'm going to be an accountant. But if I've never seen an accountant, I don't know anybody who's an accountant, I don't know what they do, that doesn't give options for students. So that's why we started bringing in professionals in order to talk around what you can do after you graduate from school. And this starts early on. Not only do we partner with our universities here in the state, but we also partner with professionals who are able to give our kids a snapshot of what they do on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of that school-to-community partnership work that I talked with you about.
Uh-huh.
And it's so important to have that because some of our students never get to see folk who are professionals.
Right, right. But now, to get them ready for accounting, they got to have a very strong math background. So how is the math?
Math background.
Tell me about your math. You told me about the reading. Let's talk about the math for a minute.
So here in our state with the math, there are several different options available to students. In order to graduate high school, they have to have several math. And I'm not talking about pre-algebra. Our math classes can be challenging. They can go all the way from pre-algebra to algebra 3, also including trigonometry, calculus, accounting. You know, if you're at a school that's focused on the academies. I spoke to you last night about the academies, how some of our schools inside of our public schools are grouping students into what we call career academies. And so their focus is simply on that academy. For example, if it's somebody that knows that they are interested in the health and science field, they may be put in the health and science academy. So their courses are tracked on and on the path to being able to go straight into college, and they will have had all of the sciences that they need to be able to enter college as a freshman.
And that's not based off of who you know. It's based off the assessment of the child, right?
Yes, and choice. The students are able to choose which academy they want to attend.
Okay. So they make that. They don't say, you live here, you know somebody. But it's, if, I don't know, when I was saying, you're not going to go to, you want this, and you send them that. I think that's really great. Now, what about the rest of the, you gave me your scores on your reading and your math scores other than the academy. How is the math scores in the regular schools?
So we are happy to report that our math scores are also moving up. Just looking at some data, I mentioned to you earlier that our reading scores, that's what's getting us the attention.
Yeah.
But our math scores have moved also. And this is something that we're very proud of, considering that for 2 years in Mississippi during the pandemic, some of our kids did not come to school. Here in Mississippi, it was up to each school district how they wanted to return to school.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do one blanket return method.
Mm-hmm.
For example, some school districts return in person. Some school districts did the hybrid model where kids would come to school 2 to 3 days a week and then be virtual at home the other days. And then a third choice for our school districts, some of them simply remained virtual where all of the instruction was online.
Uh-huh. Well, so the other thing that we're going to go, I'm going to get ready to go to the phone, y'all. Y'all can come on in. We're going to take some questions from Ms. Jones, but like I told y'all earlier, we're going to take the questions, but I don't want y'all to just go long on the statement because I'm going to get 15 minutes worth of talk. Because I'm going to have you back too, Ms. Jones, because you've been just...
Okay, sure. I'd love to come back.
You've been so wonderful. You've been such a breath of fresh air in terms of this educational stuff, because if you're not educated, where can you go? If you can't read, what can you do?
That's exactly right. And I do want our listeners to remember, especially when you think about Mississippi and you think about our students who are wanting to explore different parts of not only our nation but the world, education is the gateway. And the way that many of our students are afforded an opportunity to explore other areas of our country.
Yes.
So by providing them with a great education here in our state, we're not only providing them with a source of living, but with opportunities to explore the world.
Okay, I'm having a good time. I don't want to be selfish, y'all, my audience. Don't y'all hang up on me. I just needed more. I'm going to have her back because I just enjoyed her so much. And what I enjoyed in her, the Christian-based type, I just enjoyed it because I just believe that if our children know God and everything, they know that they got somebody. To have Christian-based people in these schools, it's really good. I'm glad to. What's the percentage of black folks in the public schools system there, Ms. Jones?
Over 50% of our public schools are blacks, and it depends on which county you're in.
Your teachers.
Oh, and our teachers are not that high of a number. In fact, I'm doing work now as we speak around recruiting African Americans to come into our classroom.
Be careful
one thing
who you
that
get now. You might break some of the freaks down now.
No, that's not what we want to do. One thing we've learned is that students often benefit from having teachers that reflect them.
Right.
Representation matters, and that's one of the things that I'm a big advocate of representation matters. So I would love for our students to have a figure, a positive role matter, man, a role model, I apologize, in their classrooms each day. I can recall going through school, and I only had two black teachers.
Uh-huh. Well, that was absolutely. I tell folks that. Let me. Okay, so I'm going to get, I'm going to go to the phone. I just want to tell folks the way I found Ms. Jones, I was looking at Flicks to Fox, and I saw them. They found Mississippi, and they had her own to explain. And I looked through a lot of the other stations. They have not reached out to her to let you know how important education is. So I found her, and I just thank you for returning my call when I found you, Ms. Jones. So I'm going, this is the rule, y'all, because I know y'all, my board, I got about two lines open. The rest of them are closed. Y'all can get those two lines if you want to. But I'm going to, you're going to ask your question, and I'm going to take two questions at a time, and then I'll hang up, and then I'll let her answer. But do not try to give no opening statement because I don't have a 5 minutes. And Mr. Stone, you've been on this line all morning. How you doing, Al Stone?
Thank you, Ms. Tillman. I do got a question for Ms. Jones. Mm-hmm. Can this system work without parent participation?
Okay, your question.
Still produce numbers.
Your question is: Can it work without parents' participation and still produce numbers? Ms. Jones, write that question now because you're gonna get two questions at a time to answer. Okay, because my board
thank
is
you.
Lit up. Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Stone. Call next week. Thank you so much.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
I'm going to one more now. Two at a time. I don't tell y'all. I don't want. Okay, Minister Hayden.
Good morning to you, Ms. Tillman, to your guest.
Good morning.
One of the things I'd like for her to address is why aren't they teaching the kids how to write in cursive? I have a 25-year-old student who's a product of Mississippi education, public schools, and he cannot read or write.
But the question is, you want to know, is the Mississippi people teaching the children how to write in cursive, right?
Yeah, because he cannot write in cursive, nor
okay.
can he read it.
Okay, well, let me let her know. You got two questions and you got to answer me. Ms. Jones, because I got a full bank of calls. Okay, thank you, Minister Hayden.
Yes, ma'am.
Lock him in or something? I can't get him off. Okay. Line three, Justin. Okay, I'm through with Hayden. There are two questions. I don't know why I can't get you. He got you locked. Okay, I got you. You got the two questions, Ms. Jones?
I do have those two questions.
Okay. And my board is lit up. I tell you, they want to talk to you. Come on, answer those two questions. I'll take two more calls.
Sure. So Mr. Stone asked a question about can the system work without parent participation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one thing I want to say about that. It will be very difficult for it to work, and let me tell you why. We only have our students for a few hours each day. We depend on our parents greatly here. Reading is something that goes hand in hand with all other subjects, and it touches all other subjects. So in order for this program to be successful, we count on our parents. We build partnerships with our parents in order for them to help back us up in the classroom. Now I'm going to move over to Mr. Hayden's question about teaching students cursive.
Are you all teaching cursive?
Yes, one thing I want to say about that, a couple of years ago, we did pull cursive from the curriculum, but it has been placed back in there. I understand his frustrations because my son, who's going into 10th grade, I took him to Washington, D.C. to some of the museums there, and I looked at, because I was one of those educators that questioned the validity of having to write in cursive, because every time you've got forms and you filled it out, it asked you to print. And I was like, cursive writing. But when I took my son to those museums in Washington, D.C., and we were reading those historical documents, and he stumbled across some which were written in cursive, I was like, okay, wait 1 minute here. We really need to put cursive back into our schools. So I'm happy to report cursive is back in the curriculum in Mississippi schools. Many of our second graders start working on cursive, and by the time they get into third grade, the teachers are using cursive instruction lessons
okay.
there.
Thank you. I'm going to and try to show your answer just a little bit for me because my
sure,
board is lit up. Everybody want to talk to you. Two more calls now, y'all. No, I don't need no statement. I don't need no, you know, y'all. I'm going to hang up on you. Talk too long, okay? Pam.
Yes, I would like to know, ask Ms. Jones, what is the teacher-student ratio In other words, how many students does one teacher have in the class?
You know what ratio means? Teacher-student ratio. She got that. Okay. Hang up, Pam. She's going to talk to you. She knows ratio. She's a very brilliant woman. Okay. Just give her the question.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I don't know. Okay. Andrea.
It's Andre.
Andre Smith. Oh, I'm sorry. Andre. Okay.
Ms. Jones, I just want to know, are you familiar with, as an educator, familiar with the J.R. Clifford and the Terry Williams story?
Okay.
That was my great-grandmother.
Thank you. Right. What you say, was your great-grandmother? Okay. Did you get the two questions?
I did get the two questions.
Okay.
So do you want me to go ahead and address the first one?
Yeah, do both of them. Just whatever you got to do. I just want to. Everybody want to talk to you. My whole board is lit up. Go on.
So Pam asked a question about teacher-student ratio. A couple of years ago, our state legislature passed the law 27-1, meaning that we have one classroom teacher per 27 students, and we have been asked not to go over that number.
Okay. Now, your next question, did you know
the next question was, I took a note of those two names, and as soon as I get up, I am going to look them up.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. What's your question, Mama D?
Hallelujah, greetings. In your CTE program, as a Montessorian, I had 18 two-year-olds. What role does character play?
What role? What? What's your question, Mama D? What role? What?
A character. Our children being taught polite and impolite. And
okay, you want to know what kind of manners they teach up that a character? Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, got you. Did I take two names at a time? Or was it just one?
That was just one. I apologize.
Okay. Okay. Brother Chris? Going once, Chris? Put him back on hold. He must have went and got some coffee or something. Put him back on hold. I don't know where my put him on hold, Justin. I don't know why this. Why I keep getting a lock? What you got on my phone here? I got to see. Okay, Prince.
Hello.
What's your question, Princess?
No, I wanted to give her a comment and let her know, girl, you're doing
no
a beautiful
comments.
Job.
No comments. You got
to
give a question. No comment. I ain't got but a few minutes.
I just wanted to tell her she's doing a great job. There's nothing wrong with that, Ms. Bowman.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. I just still want to know if you had a question. Thank you, Prince.
I'm a Southerner myself. We read.
You know, I know how you are. I know you're a great person. Thank you so much. Okay, answer the question.
So the question was about our character education program. I am so pleased to announce, especially in our elementary schools, that is a part of the curriculum. In fact, each month our kids are taught something around citizenship, something around honesty, and something about being respectful to others.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask
not only in Montessori, but all across our elementary schools.
Do you all do the Pledge of Allegiance down there?
Yes.
Okay. Do you take a moment for prayer, a silent prayer, anything in the school?
Yes.
Praise God. Okay. I'm going to try Brother Chris again and see if he's back. Brother Chris? There's something wrong with his phone. I hear him, but I can't hear you, Brother Chris. Okay. All right. Something wrong with his phone. Chris, I'm sorry, my brother. I tried to come back to you. Minister Plump, when I come to you, I just want a question. Can't tell me all this other stuff. I'm going to hang up on you because I ain't got much time. Minister Plump.
Well, Yashalom. Yes, Minister Plump. Do you have a music academy program, Mr. Sickens?
Okay, thank you. That's a good question. Thank you. I'm sure they have music. They have the music programs in Mississippi, don't they? Because they take a music out of. Shoot, you don't talk about the music program in your school, Ms. Jones.
Yes, okay. You want me to take it now or wait for the other question?
Yeah, take it now. Go on. No, go on with that. Because
Muse is a very big part of our programs here in Mississippi. Not necessarily named music academies, but our students have opportunities to choose band, chorus, jazz ensemble, and our elementary students are introduced to music at an early age where they can do violin, guitar, any other percussion instruments. It plays a very big part in our school system.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to get Lisa. We run out of time. I do want you to have a closure. Oh, my God. Y'all, I got a few lines open. Y'all can call in. I know y'all done got nervous with me because I've been on y'all. Y'all know I'm going to do a closure with her. So, y'all, I got a few lines. Y'all can call in. Okay, let's get Lisa. Lisa. Lisa?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask, how do you feel about rote memorization? In Chicago Public Schools, I've noticed.
Hold on. No. Just a question.
Okay.
You want to know how to.
Rote memorization opposed to phonics.
Okay.
Thank you.
Rote opposed to phonics. That's what you want. I'm going to let her answer that now because she talked about phonics straight up. She want to know what
I'm I can't wait to tell her about it. I am going to choose phonics every time. I am a K-2 teacher. I've done this over 18 years. Phonics work. Phonics should never have been pulled out of our schools. Phonics is not only essential at the elementary level. It carries over. Rote memorization fades away. That we need to get away from that. We need to really, really put phonics back into these programs, getting our students to read.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, I'm not going to take any more calls because I'm going to start getting ready to end up this. No more calls. Put it XX. Y'all don't call me no more. I'm finna let. I want to end on this phonics, and I don't have a 5 minutes, so I can't give it to nobody else. I'm being selfish. I want to talk a little bit about, okay, y'all call me back next week. I don't no more calls today. Phonics. Tell the people what phonics is and why it's important because some folks might be listening who've never had phonics. They might have had the rope. Tell why phonics is important. And what is phonics?
So when we talk about phonics, when we're thinking about reading and how it works, we're talking about those parts that we're using to teach. Now, when we look at reading, it's going to be that method of teaching people to read by correlating the sounds and the letters with groups of letters in order to make chunks into producing words. For example, the sound that the letter T would make, the sound that the letter R would make. Some folk use whole word recognition in order to teach reading, but we've seen the research that shows phonics is the best method. Phonics, when you think about phonics, think about the word phone, and you know when you have phone, you hear sounds.
Yeah.
So those important pieces of sound that gets our kids to reading. That's why it's so important that we're having conversations with our kids, that we're actually conversing and talking, and they're listening to people produce sounds correctly.
But yeah, and you know, I had phonics in school, so I can sound stuff off of phonics. And that's why it's important, like you said, you're doing a young school. You're talking to a child, and they're learning. That child is learning phonics. And I think it's a disgrace. And what I found is in specialty schools, they teach phonics. So what rope is? What is rope, Ms. Jones? What is rope?
When you do things over and over again,
repetition
of things. And then, you know, growing up, think about your multiplication facts. Mm-hmm. You said those facts over and over again until you memorize them.
But that's not like reading. That's not like reading.
That's my point. It's not like reading because you're not going to see those same words all the time. But what you will see are the letters and the sounds. And that's why it's so important that phonics is there. It's up front. And we are teaching our students to sound so that they're able to sound out words.
Well, let me ask you this last thing, and I'm going to have to go. They telling me I got to go. I've enjoyed this so much. Now, when I don't think you'll have time to answer this question. You talked about the phonics in terms of so you're teaching parts of a speech and all of that, how to write and salutation and all of that stuff too, right?
Yes.
Verbs and pronouns. Okay. Ms. Jones, I'm going to have you back. I have truly enjoyed you. We've had a good time. My audience probably mad at me because I won't let her talk no more. And I hope you enjoyed yourself. And someone is when you up tune into us. We've been talking to Ms. Erica Weber Jones, who's the president of the Mississippi Association of Educators. We enjoyed you so much. God bless you. Sending up Matilda in a prayer for you. Send one up to me too, okay?
Thank you, and you enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ms. Jones.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've enjoyed them. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. The report said the Southern children are reading better than the North. That's because these unions and these teachers will not let you. And I dare, once again, the Board of Education take the status away from the urban prep to put them into a failing situation. It's the black community don't get angry about that, something wrong with y'all. They teach sex. They teach all the other stuff. But they don't teach math and science and reading. We salute you, Urban Prep. We're with you, Urban Prep. Brandon, pull it back. Children, this is Charles Bevel. Grace Ralph. Do I have the right time? I'll call for you in the conversation. Be right in the great city of Chicago. I'll be back next week. I had a good time. I had a real, I hope y'all enjoyed Ms. Jones. Thank you so much. We can't send our children out to, we cannot send them out to eat the grapes of wrath. But if they can't read, write, and think, have manners, and know God, family, something wrong with them. Join me tomorrow at Liberty Baptist Church. Be my guest. Family and Friends Day, 11 o'clock. And then after we're going to play basketball and everything else, join me. If not, look at us on YouTube, 11 o'clock, 11 to 12. Hey, y'all, let's not send them out these grapes of wrath. Let's teach them. See y'all next week.
So we all get in line for a young one. Some will grab 10 or 12, some will get none. And children grabbed by rich ones will be pampered. And the children left to poor ones will be hampered. Why do we act like the heathen?
Charles Bevel, James Bevel, baby brother. Every non-religion,
but you never have to eat
the grapes of wrath. They can't read, they can't write, they can't think. Should I do it now? Woo!
Why do we make those distinctions?
Yeah.
We don't have an easy what each child will bring or how they share.
They can't bring nothing, they can't read.
Get
back,
we don't care.
Talk about cannabis and sex.
We send them out to harvest the grapes of wrath.
Yeah.
No, we send them out to harvest
the grapes of wrath. You're at the right timer saying, let's not send them out. I'll see y'all next week. Hope y'all enjoy Ms. Jones. I'm going to try to get Dr. Anderson next week. Until next week. The real reparation now, not the kind they're talking about. They play the game with y'all. See y'all next week.